and welcome to the All Japan Women's Destiny podcast. I'm your host, JD. Welcome to another episode as we go through the history of All Japan Women's Professional Wrestling through the classics episodes that you can find on various places of the internet. I vastly encourage to follow along and learn and enjoy the history of this just awesome women's wrestling promotion of the past. This is a spin-off in conjunction with the Red Leaf Retrocast. That is the proper episode where these come from. We hope you enjoy our audio and our discussions over the various wrestlers and the matches in which you go through the ages. If you like what you hear and you want more content, please consider checking out the Patreon. That is patreon.com/redleafretrocast, all one word, where we also cover LLPW, various other women's wrestling promotions of the past, and the project that the whole reason it exists is the Joshi 2010s journey, where we go through coming out of the dark ages of Joshi professional wrestling and really learning and having fun with wrestlers that we're very familiar with to this day to ones that we may have missed out on. I hope you enjoy the audio you're about to hear covering AJW. And if you want more, please, again, consider signing up to the Patreon and leaving us reviews over at iTunes, Spotify, and the like, all your favorite podcasting outlets in which you listen to AJW and the Red Leaf Retrocast. Enjoy. Good God, I love that Escamita. Just that air guitar is going as you hear it. It is classic number 97, Osaka, Japan, August 31st, 1994. All Japan Women Destiny here covering the AJW classics through the ages as we go through this historical Joshi promotion. Man, road to Big Egg, road to the Dome, post-Budokan. The end of the All Japan Women Grand Prix from 1994. Yes, I will be covering that as well. And this is more of kind of a rundown of how we got here. Or at least how we're going to get to the Tokyo Dome. Thank you for listening to All Japan Women. If you're listening on the All Japan Women Destiny feed, of course, thank you as well. Consider checking out the Joshi through the 2010s episodes and journey. And if you enjoy that, consider the Patreon. I know that's double plugs, as I always do, but first, we're really going to do the Grand Prix Finals at Korakuen on August 28th, 94. So quickly running through what was on the Classics wasn't anything special. And the Classics do weird things, where they miss big shows sometimes, they miss big events, or what should feel like big events. And so instead of the Grand Prix, quote-unquote, finals, they just kind of showed us a house show from Osaka. I must note, this is the first Classics where we clearly, oh so super crystal clear, hear the wrestlers' entrance music. And that is very much why I was into Takakao's She's a Knockout, Mita's just fucking electric guitar. Super nice. I love this. We finally hear entrance songs rather than whatever the generic things were in the early Classics throughout the entire 80s. I know we got like Dump Matsumoto's things and Bull Nakano's. Different now. It's way different now. Bongo drums for Manami Toyota. What are those synthesizing like drums that she has in her... Anyways. Saya Endo versus Misei Watanabe. Does that sound familiar? Well, it should be if you're a fan of the historics. That is Misei Genki. She has a rookie debut and a debut-type match. They actually debuted at the Grand Prix Finals. We're getting to that. Look, there were drop kicks, there were headlocks, went on forever for over 10 minutes. What's notable about this is AJW is now debuting a bunch of new people, like Endo, whom lasts until the early 2000s. Masai Genki here becomes something. And I believe Yoshiko Tamura is only a few weeks away from her debut as well. And, my favorite, Nanai Takahashi, is coming like a cold winter. Winter's coming. Honestly, this roster could use some new blood. Big time. Big time, big time. Mariko Yoshida versus Takako Inoue, the knockout herself. Yoshida, look, Inoue bullies this woman for 12 minutes. Basically treats Yoshida like a rookie. And being 2 years out, I thought Yoshida would have been treated better on her return, considering it seemed like AJW made a decent, large enough deal out of it. But, that stopped completely with matches like what we've seen the last few outings. Maybe it'll take time to get the bearing back. Maybe get those bearings oiled, but this was very one-sided. Takako looks like a much bigger star with the new yellow and blue gear. She looks more edgy. She's got a little attitude growing on her. Crowd reacts heavily to her, too. We saw a little high-flying from Yoshida in a match or two before, but she's back on the ground heavily, and looks like her gear is slowly going through some changes as well. But Takako Inoue is really on the rise here, along with Saki Asagawa. These are the two people that, to me, can take that next step. And, well, you know me, guys. If they're mid-carders and I like them, that means they're never going to win shit. Toshio Yamada versus Etsuko Mita. These two went out and had a solid little 13-minute match. Yamada threw some kicks, including her off-the-top ropes, Will Ospreay-esque flipping roundhouse to win. Mita used her power, teased hitting the DVD like six times. Decent enough near falls here, too. Enjoyable, three-and-a-half-star range type of deal. But we move on. Saki Asagawa, Manami Toyota, Kyoko Inoue against Reggie fucking Bennett, Kaoru goddamn Ito, and Aja, I will murder your mother Kong. Huge winning tiger driver Kyoko hits on Reggie Bennett. Yes, let me repeat that. Kyoko Inoue hits a tiger driver on Reggie Bennett to win the match. This was super impressive. Match itself was a by-the-numbers trios match, and Kaoru Ito, yeah, she's still got the Peter Pan get up on. It's very sad. Thought we were over that, but not as much effort as we're used to. Three and a quarter star type. Everyone hit their key stuff. Hasegawa continues to be a huge standout on cards like these. Days and matches like this, she always shows out. Ito, not so much. Okay, so that was the classic episode, but we're on to the real stuff here. The AJW Grand Prix 1994 final show at a sold-out Corken Hall with, who could argue, 4,000 people, standing room only. Just everyone is there, all the stars. You can find all this on YouTube, by the way, particularly Scott's Blog of Doom. He probably comes up in a lot of Google searches for you guys on his AJW 1994 Grand Prix coverage. He has YouTube links to most of these matches that you can watch in parts or full. So I do recommend that. That's pretty much how I watched a majority of these, was thanks to his links. Differing opinions on a couple of these matches. You could probably already guess which one or two, but so the premise of the tournament was you have round robin. So it's not a knockout tournament like they have done in, 91, or I believe that was the year. And usually, the winner gets a red belt match, okay? Who's going to face Aja Kong, right? Is it going to be at the Dome? Is it going to be, just before it? All Japan Women is doing a tournament over the best of the best in Joshi Professional Wrestling, okay? Best of the best. That's what they're doing. It's called the V-Top Tournament. And if you listen to my LLPW reviews over on the Patreon, there's some politics happening in a lot of these companies, okay? LOPW doesn't want, or at least Kandori won't do the job, because, let's face it, the entire dome is set up for Akira Hokuto and Aja Kong. That is what they're building to. Everything else is just for kind of pomp and circumstance, okay? And that's what this AJW Grand Prix was. It was pomp and circumstance to get into the V-Top tournament. The top two winners, in quotes, top two points getters for this get to go to the V-Top tournament, elimination style for the show, in order to be the victory top champion. Okay? And I guess the original idea and what it comes down to is whoever wins it also wins the AJW title. There's a whole thing with Hokuto's injury and rejecting the title. It's a whole thing, okay? But back to the politics. LOPW, Kandori, won't do no job. She ain't winning. She don't want in. So LOPW has to change the title away from her. Roll up with Tateno. Phantom title changes with Eagle Sawai back on Tateno because Tateno doesn't want to work with AJW. She hates the Matsunagas. Conjecture, mostly, but also kind of confirmed by her in a couple interviews I was able to search out. What I need to do is try to find the one interview where she talks directly about her AJW past, but it's all in Japanese. Maybe need to get a translator for that one. Regardless, then JWP is playing ball. They're like, oh yeah, okay, we know you're the number one group. We're number two. We'll put our champion in, and we don't mind if they lose one match. Because Dynamite Kansai is super over. Okay? There are still political works in there saying, do they want to move the title off of Kansai? And then you can still have Kansai in the tournament. Well, LOPW sends Eagle Sawai, not their champion, but sort of. And Kansai is the ultimate choice instead of someone like Miami Ozaki. Then you got FMW. Onita's crew of grifters, or people he's trying to teach the grift. And he doesn't want anybody to do no job. Kudo, Combat Toyota, no one should do it. So he sends in Yuki Nabeno, a just embarrassing wrestler, into this thing. So instead of doing jobs, or at least sending someone respectable to go in and maybe just have, like, a win over somebody. Just can't be done. So instead of putting on a good match at the Tokyo Dome, the biggest show of the year, whether it's 6 minutes, 8 minutes, 12 minutes, FMW's brilliant idea is to put in their worst wrestler to represent their company for the quote-unquote best Joshi. Imagine a scenario where Jushin Thunder Liger in New Japan goes, okay, I want to have the best of the Super Juniors. You know, Super Juniors to the top, right? Michinoku Pro, who you got? You know, okay, we got guys like, we got connections with like Super Delphin, we got El Samurai, we got all these guys. And instead, they send you like Ghetto to be in your tournament. Well, they kind of did that, but let's say they just say, okay, you can't have, you know, Samurai or Taka Michinoku or any of these guys, but you can have Ghetto only. That would be the equivalent. That'd be embarrassing. And would you make new fans that way? Well, shit happens at the Dome involving Kandori and Hokuto and LOPW reviews, baby. Patreon. So yeah, this entire tournament will not have a winner, you won't have a finals, and then they just sort of announce who is the top two finishers in the tournament. And they're just in, and they get a little trophy and sash, and you're just like, okay, I guess we'll see what happens at the Dome. Big tournament to get in, while Hokuto, Kong, other people's champions get to be in it, while AJW is a bloodbath just trying to get to whatever mock finals that they had. So we begin this Corken Hall, obviously sell out 6,000 people there. Amazing how they just got more people in between me talking about this. Totally not a seated setup of 1,600, open the balcony 1,700. No. 21,000 people at Corken Hall for the exciting conclusion of the Japan Grand Prix. Whom could forget? All the tapes have been saved over this tournament. Guys, there's a reason why these tapes do not have the historical perseverance as other tapes. It's because this 1994 Grand Prix was, I'll say it, a waste of time. It produced one good match, at best, maybe two or three if you want to point to some others, different tastes. And I would say it's I guess, the last match on this card is your best bet. And it's like, I went, I don't know, 4 stars. We'll get to that, but very sad. I mean, there were matches in the undercard I thought were better than a lot of these. So let's begin. Rie Tamada and Yoko Takahashi defeat Kumiko Maekawa and Masai Watanabe. So Masai Genki, 11-26. Lots of dropkick spamming. Don't worry about this one, guys. We move on. Chaparita Asari and Suzuka Minami defeat Mima Shimoda and Big Tomoko Watanabe, 12-53. Heavy, quick undercard pace. Asari and Tomoko did some flips. Shimoda missed one. Suzuka hits a straitjacket German to pin Shimoda. Ended eventually. This was fine. This was fine. And then we get to the Grand Prix matches. Stardom, 5-star special in Hiroshima, this was not. And funny how there's all these Reddit posts and certain users out there that have this wild, just one-sided opinion that the old stuff is better, the new stuff can never compete. And look, I've had conversations, I've had debates, I've had self-thoughts about what the modern era could learn from the past, whether it comes to, like, brawling, setting up feuds that feel hot, you know, having some hate, get some heat. There's certainly some merit, I think, to thought processes like that, philosophical debates over what could be, what should be. And then I watch a show like this where I'm getting Saki Asagawa Kari Ito for 13 minutes, and Hasekawa dumping most uninteresting wrestler in AJW on her head. What's not to like at least half this, right? But the finish is so bad. Ito goes for a top rope foot stomp, lands slightly left, and Saki rolls her up. Crap. It's absolute crap. Yes, there's a couple good moves, but I've had this. Let me go back to those posts where there's the spouting of just disregarding the modern era because something like more people showed up to Corken Hall in the early 90s. It doesn't fly with me, and it doesn't fly with a correct, I would say, comparison, or at least the opinion of a comparison from modern versus past. Kaoru versus Mariko Yoshida. Okay, so this is notable because Kaoru was announced to be on, and this is true, Team Gaia, all right, with Chigusa Nagayo from the big, like, Budokan announcement just after. Gaia is starting. And there's press releases that Gaia is not a promotion. It's not a, like, run entity, right? It is a group. It's a group of people. It's going to be Chigusa, Kaoru, a trainer, and then a bunch of rookies. And the idea is there's going to be an angle with Chigusa and Kaoru, quote-unquote, invading AJW. Okay? So by all pomp and circumstance right now, and as far as the Matsunagas are concerned, Chigusa is running an angle for AJW. And there was an interesting article that came out over a Chigusa Bolnakano interview. Okay. And when they talk about AJW specifically, Chigusa was told by the Matsunagas kind of that they laughed at her, more or less. That, what are you going to do? You're a woman. How are you going to run anything? You're going to fail. And, oh yeah, by the way, Gaia was essentially big out of the gate and like fair competition with AJW within a year or two. Because Chigusa Nagaya was in it. She's one of the biggest women stars ever. So go figure. But yeah, most of this match was a slow slog of mat wrestling. Can't say I found much enjoyment in this match. You know, as I type this in 2023, as I read it, as I went over it. Like, work is clearly fine. It's just not inspiring, okay? And they do a 30-minute draw, so it's just forever. It's so long, right? I can deal with long matches if it's exciting. You know, if there's action, if there's blood, if there's good build with legs, you know, something. But it just kind of went through motions, if you will. Match does get a restart. 30-minute draw is not enough. And what's funny is Kaoru was in this, like, all-black gear. And I actually thought it was, like, future Mariko Yoshida. You know, when she gets her little spider tarantula gimmick thing. But, look, match restarts, and Kaoru just eats this woman alive. Pile driver. Asahi moonsault to the outside. Then hits three straight beautiful moonsaults. And you're like, okay, there's the pin. Nope, picks her up instead. Hits an awful-looking botched fisherman suplex. The perfect plex this was not. The imperfect plex. Wins it with that. And I'm like shaking my head going, oh, I don't know what booking that was, but that was like utterly baffling. And yet the crowd seemed to love this, especially at the end. They wanted Yoshida to win specifically, but she got squashed in extra time, like watching a, what would be a soccer comparison there? Like watching Borussia Dortmund try to win a league with three games left. There we go. Oh, no, this match. Okay. Japan Grand Prix 1994 match. Yumiko Hota defeats Etsuko Mita. Hota finishes with 13 points in the group. Etsuko Mita, 10 points. 19 minutes, 56 seconds this went. Ladies and gentlemen, if you told me this match went on for 60 years, and I was now taking out pension from a broken police job that I failed at, I'd believe you. This match was the dirt worst. A dud. A horrid display of wrestling. A how to not make a wrestling match exciting. A botchy, gross, mat wrestling, no leg selling, extravaganza of shit. The most exciting thing was Mita pops the crowd out of the gate trying to go for a DVD. So, we have 2 seconds of action. Get ready, guys, because if you're like, all right, here we go. Quickly, we get Hota mat wrestling. And oh my god, it's a lot of mat wrestling. Both wrestlers work each other's legs for almost the entirety of the match. I felt like I was watching LLPW here. Except Mita's actually screaming and wailing. So, I guess there's at least sound, and they're trying to make it loud. We finally get to the last 2 minutes of this Chinese water torture, where they finally decide, oh yeah, let's do some moves. Crowd, of course, eats all this up, because I guess they were just begging for something. It was just silence throughout the whole time. Well, they start doing move. Leg selling, what's that? Oh, great. You put me through 17 minutes of leg holds for you to just not sell them. Look, I don't think I'm being too harsh on this match, in all honesty. And I'm usually not one to kind of point out, they should probably sell or do this. In this case, I was so annoyed that the match was the most boring thing I could imagine a wrestling match to be, and then that quote unquote journey you took me on, you do nothing to pay that off. Oh, oh, oh no. Anyways, Hota hits a straitjacket German off the top, and you're like, whoa, well, that's a move. She puts her knee on her chest and then picks up Mita before three. Did we not just see that happen in the match before? So Hota signals for something. Lifts the giant skyscraper that is 5'8" at Etsuka Mita up on her shoulder and drops backwards. Botch number one. Mita recovers. She actually lands on her feet. Goes off the ropes, charges at Hota for a tilt-a-whirl back into position. Whoops, never mind. Hota drops her flat on her belly. Just botch number two. So Hota stands there, hands on her hips. Mita's like, do I sell? She's like looking up at her going, now what? Botch three. They don't know what to do. And then they just give up. They go right into Hota's pyramid driver. And Hota wins. They hit her music. And I'm just like, fucking done. What a shitty match. I hate it. So hate. Hate, 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 hate. Kyoko Inoue and Reggie Bennett defeat Aja Kong, Takako Inoue. 15:36. Kyoko pins Takako with the Niagara driver. Fine little match with some good action. Aja Kong, Kyoko Inoue, they had some personality. Takako Inoue had some fire. Reggie Bennett was a construction worker. I like this match, so it was okay. But my psyche and my mental capacity was very much damaged from the match before. There was a lot to recover from. So I went for a walk. I paced around, collected my thoughts, had some Boom Boo Rum, even poured myself a little ghost tequila. Oh my god, if you guys haven't had some ghost tequila, let me describe this to you. Tequila on the rocks. And this tequila tastes like jalapeno peppers, but without the heavy, heavy hotness of the spice. So you get a good peppery spice while on the rocks being chilled goes down. And I went, I am ready to watch some fucking Manami Toyota Toshio Yamada. Oh, it's been years since they had a match. It's their first singles match, I believe, since the hair match. And these two went 29 minutes, 1 second. Winner take all goes to the dome to go into the V-top and lose to Hokuto in 8 minutes. Or however the bracket worked out. Epic match and an epic botch fest. Still good, but holy hell. Did I not need more legwork in this? They started the match with the same holds that fucking Mita and Hota did, where it's heel hook, grab the knee, and you might like kick someone every now and again. And I just, my eyes went cross and I started sweating. I was like, I could be playing Zelda Tears of the Kingdom right now. I could be playing Armored Core 6. I could be dreaming about Liza P. But instead, all I wanted to do was go to the bathroom. And anyways, Manami Toyota, Toshio Yamada. This was, look, there's a lot of moves that are whiffed. There's drop kicks that are coming, you know, a foot away from someone's face and falling to the mat hard. I'm hearing Daichi slap the mat. It sounds like fiberglass breaking. This mat is so hard. I'm hearing Manami Toyota do moonsaults and backflips off the buckle and hearing that clang when she comes off. I'm like, okay, this is some old school wrestling. This is some new school ideas and old school stuff. This is cool. Toshio Yamada, top of her game. She's hitting her enziguris. She's picking Toyota out of the like Toyota will go for her like flipping sunset dealio, and Yamada just catches her in the middle and power bombs her. And I'm just going, beautiful, Toshio Yamada, you make the match exciting. I need you to be champion now. But not on Manami Toyota's watch. She's got her number. There's a lot of Manami Toyota selling. But as soon as we get to the end and it's hitting, it's going for the JOC. Yamada's kicking out of that. They do a wacky gory bomb JOC sequence where it's like botched six times over. But the crowd is just eating this up alive. because even the hint of them hitting either one of these finishers, no matter how ugly it looks, they think it's a match ender, right? And it worked. You establish something as a big deal, and the crowd will treat it like such. The fans will treat it like such. So even though I'm watching this going, it ain't the smoothest, it isn't the prettiest, but goddammit, I love this. And Toyota wins with like a little tiger suplex deal after all that. And it's her and Hota going to the V-top, going to the dome. And all I can think of was, man, sure would have been nice if there was like, you know, a red belt match on the horizon, kind of guaranteed after going through the entire roster and going through this big tournament over a few months. Wasn't meant to be. This was their big plan. The main objective of 1994 continues to be the Tokyo Dome. And that's where we're heading. AJW Destiny. See you next time in the classics.